Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
To me, you know, those things, like if you get a good effort out of your team and then a pitching decision is a 77% chance of success versus a 79% chance of success, you roll the dice. And a lot of those moves now in these very strong front offices are outlined or blueprinted before the game, and you're sort of following the pattern of getting the matchup you want.
How does Wander Suero ever get in a game? Ever?
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All righty then. Michael is 6 feet, 1 inch apart from me, and we have Tim Kirkchin to talk about the baseball. We have Chuck Todd to gamble and to talk briefly about the debate. I should say that I assigned my son to watch the debate for me. I didn't want to see it. I didn't think that anybody would rise to the point where I would say, boy, that guy makes me proud. And I'm, from what I've read and what I've seen so far this morning on the Washington Post, has a 3-minute clip, which is just disastrous. I mean, it's just disastrous. Michael, you watched for how long?
I did. Thanks for the homework. I watched most of the way through, and it was tough going. It's one of those debates where you're sitting there going, I'm actually pretty thankful the boys are too young to stay up for this and that they are asleep. And don't they normally say that these debates don't really change voters who are already entrenched in their beliefs or their plans for November?
There is the mythology of the first debate between Richard Nixon and John Kennedy, in which Richard Nixon showed up and his makeup wasn't great and his lip was sweating and he didn't look great. And there is the mythology that that changed a lot of voters in what was then a largely Republican country to vote for John Kennedy, who was young and virile and great looking. But I don't know that since then, I think people look to these debates for confirmation mostly, but there's probably 10, I can't, you know, to me, there can't even be 10% of the people now who don't know who they're voting
right
for.
But maybe there are. And if you look to last night, confirmation is what you got. If you come back to the line that's going to be played out for the next however many weeks, will you shut up, man? It's going to be something that, you know, supporters of Joe Biden will rally behind and just talk to the way that Trump refused to let anyone else, including the moderator, talk. Just goes off script, off topic. My favorite moment was the mask, where he goes, I'm okay with masks, starts opening up his jacket. I've got a mask right here. I'm fine with masks if I need to. I'm not like him. He's got the biggest mask I've ever seen. He wears it all the time.
It's just, I don't know. Nigel, did you watch?
I did. I certainly thought it would be interesting if Eric Rideholm would get those two guys to fill in for you and Wilbon
PTI.
Occasionally on PTI.
Yeah, the PTI guys, Biden and Trump. Yeah,
that'd be a long 24-minute show.
I don't know. So I think if I were Biden, I honestly would have, this is just me, I would have come onto the stage, I would have held in my hand a standard 1040 tax form. I'd have thrown it to the other guy and I'd have left the stage. You know, I just would have said, $750, really, get out of here. And I would have left the stage, but I guess I, you know, that
And you saw this with the, you saw this in the runnings up to Biden getting the nomination, where somebody else is, the Trump team is just going to take cuts of Biden looking like he's stumbling through a prepared remark because he's trying to get around the other man who's talking over him.
So anyway, so we'll leave it at that, and then we'll talk to Chuck Todd in sports news, which is what this show is often about. Serena Williams has early this morning, but not early this morning French time, early this morning American time. French time is 6 hours different. She's dropped out of the French Open, citing her aggravation with, is it a hamstring or an ankle or something like
Achilles.
That? Whatever, an Achilles, whatever happened to her during the U.S. Open. She's 39 years old tomorrow. That's ancient in tennis. And unlike the men's draw, where there doesn't seem to be a tremendous amount of depth, every year there are two new women who you've never heard of who win majors. And I don't know. I should ask Nigel because he pays attention to tennis. I'm just not certain. I am leaning like 65-70% that she's not going to win another major. I don't think she is. What do you think?
I would agree with that. I would go even higher. I would say maybe 75-80%. It's the hill's too steep. And
that's
there is that there is that second tier of women who will, as you said, will come out of nowhere. And you're like, well, good Lord, who's this? And
the number one woman in the world, a woman named Ashley Barty, I think is the number one. She hasn't even played in a year. And she's the number one woman in the world. Osaka is better. Osaka is better than than Serena Williams now. Sure. Yeah. I mean, Serena Williams is 39.
It's just too steep a hill to climb, I think, for her. I do not think she will win another one either.
Yeah, so the major is what we're talking about.
Too hard to train coming back from that injury. And you get into your
And you've seen what's happened to her older sister. Her older sister, who was a great champion. Not as great as Serena, but was a great champion. First round out everywhere. She's become like, remember when Pat Cash would just, or Leighton Hewitt? Yeah. Leighton Hewitt, first round out everywhere. So anyway, if people don't even remember those names, obviously. Baseball, we should probably talk a little bit about baseball. There was drama in three of the four games. Three of the four games were within, a good inning, of being reversed. There was no drama in the Yankee game. The drama in the Yankee game was done when Aaron Judge, on the fourth pitch of the game, apparently, hit it out. And Shane Bieber
bullied it out.
I don't know that I'm not sure about this. Was he 8-0? Like, he's the Cy Young Award winner runaway in the American League, right? Wasn't he 8-0 with two?
With the Triple Crown in terms of the pitching stats. But I think the number A-Rod was using was that through the first half of the game, he gave up more runs than he allowed in the first half of the season.
Yeah, I mean, he was battered. He was battered, and I know a lot of people are rejoiced when the Yankees aren't good, and they did not have a good regular season. But you gotta squirm when you see that lineup if you're the opposing pitcher. It doesn't mean they'll win every game, and they don't have – well, they do have Gerrit Cole. They have a great pitcher. Gerrit Cole went 7, allowed 2 hits, no runs, and 13 Ks. 13 Ks in 7 innings. Come on. That's Scherzer land, and Scherzer can't do it anymore. Is that why they gave him the money? Well, it's part of it. That's what they want him to do. So that game had no particular drama. The other games all had a certain amount of drama. In Tampa, that was 1-0 for a long time, with Blake Snell throwing a no-hitter for 5 innings or something like that. That was 1-0 for a long time. Lucas Giolito was perfect.
And that's the story of the day.
If you're a Nats fan.
No, I think in terms of watching a new format, watching a pitcher making his postseason debut.
Yeah, he was right.
Having a no-hitter through 6.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Perfect through 6. And so that was close. The A's never win, of course. But if you want to know who never wins, the Minnesota Twins, they never win. This is now 17 in a row. They are winning 1-0 into the 6th.
I think
then
that
Houston gets a run, and it's 1-1. And they get into whatever inning it is, maybe the 8th. And they bring on Sergio Romo, who, as I will ask Timmy later, is freakish looking. And like he's like Sean Doolittle wants to grow up to look like Sergio Romo. I mean, he hasn't shaved in, I would say, 12 years at this point. That's a real long beard. And Sergio Romo gives up single, and then gets 2 outs. And it is about to get a 3rd out on a ground ball when the throw is terrible. The forced throw at 2nd is terrible. The Astros score 1. The bases stay loaded or become
loaded.
And then there's a single, and the Astros are up.
You have the Altuve walk.
Oh, yeah, he walks Altuve.
Thinking he's getting the high strike.
Yeah, he's not. Altuve's 5-4, so you're not getting the high strike.
And the average for Altuve might not be what it was, bang, bang, but he can still read pitches, and you still want to see him in that spot.
Yeah, so base is loaded. There's a bad throw. These are unearned runs. Doesn't really matter. They bring in another pitcher. Pitcher yields a hit, and the Astros win the game 4-1, and the Twins have lost 17 in a row. So I know 3 people who are from Minnesota.
You immediately go to your phone.
Yeah, I go right to Paul Tews.
As any good friend would do here.
Yeah, I go right to Paul Tews, who's a native Minnesotan who had, said, we're going to win. And I go, no, no, no. Those are my 3 words on the text.
Turn the dial, KJ.
And, Kirsten's from Minnesota. And he just writes back this note, feel my pain. So there's Paul Tews, who was, I think, in charge in Barack Obama's first term. I think he was in charge of Iowa. I think he successfully negotiated Iowa. And then there's Joe Paulson, who still works for 44, and Tom Friedman of the New York Times. These are people born and raised in the Minneapolis area, if not Minneapolis itself. And it's terrible for them. The last time, Minneapolis has 4 They're one of the 10 or 11 cities with four teams. They got a hockey team, the Wild, which has never won. They've got a basketball team, the Timberwolves, which has never won. They've got a football team, the Vikings. Nigel, they've never won, have they?
They have not. No,
they've never won. And they've got the Twins, who won in 87 and 91, if not other times. But that's their last, you know, Washington for a while until the Capitals was in that sort of situation. It had been a long time, but it's 91. So a city with four different teams, and they've waited almost 30 years now. That's a long time. Long time for the Minnesota faithful. And it's cold up there. Like, it's by tomorrow. Wouldn't you like to see the Michael win one game? At least it's not the hard out. It's not the wild card hard out, which they've suffered from.
Yeah, but
before.
You thought they avoided the Yankees in their normal one and done in the divisional round out. So you just thought they had a path to make a run here.
That's, I don't know how people deal with that when it's, that's terrible, right? Nigel, aren't you a Vikings fan? You're not a Packers fan. You're a Vikings fan, aren't you?
I was a Vikings fan for a very long time, and they just broke my spirit.
And you gave it up for... Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah, it broke my spirit. Because
so were you optimistic about Kirk Cousins?
No, they would... Well, Kirk Cousins has proven himself to be the media... Well, yeah, fairly mediocre quarterback that many thought he was here.
You like that?
But with the Vikings, it's not only that they would not win the Super Bowl. Now the move is... They will get to the NFC Championship game
and lose.
And they'll pick a number of different ways to lose. Either blown out like they were by the Giants years ago, lose on that last-minute field goal to the Falcons. They can't win. It's very sad for Minnesota fans.
And yet we some of us think of, like, Bud Grant as a great American hero just because at 90 years old he's in a T-shirt when it's 4 degrees below zero. And he doesn't seem
hanging
to
out
get
with
sick.
Reginald.
He doesn't seem to get sick. I mean, he's Bud Grant. No. You know,
yes.
I mean, they had, look, let's be fair. They had Lou Grant and they had Bud Grant. Now that I think about it, you know, in Minneapolis, that was a great show. The Mary Tyler Moore show was such a great show. I mean, if I have to console myself, that's what I console myself with. I actually should see. I don't know if Michelle Tafoya, I know she's lived there a long time, but she's from Southern California originally. I don't know if she thinks of herself as feeling the pain of the Minnesota sports teams. They don't even win in colleges anymore, right? They don't.
The Gophers. They don't,
University of Minnesota has not won a basketball tournament or a football national championship in forever. All right, we will take a break. When we come back, do we have Tim Kirchen when we come back or Chuck Todd? Tell me who we have.
No, we have Tim Kirchen next, yes.
All right, and he will talk about the baseball at greater depth than I have. He worked a game. The one thing I forgot. As my earpiece falls out completely. Michael vamped for a while I put it back in.
I'm actually a little bit confused as to how you knocked your earpiece out.
I don't know. I forgot to mention this that I thought was an important story, and
more
we don't have coverage on it. The Tennessee Titans.
Oh, yes.
They have eight people. Is it five players and three staff or the other way around?
Three players, five staff.
Yeah, they have eight people tested positive. The NFL's going to play the game one way or another. I mean, the NFL's protocol... is their protocol. Everybody's got a different protocol.
Well,
now, they don't have to play it Sunday.
Monday, yes.
You can play it Tuesday. You play whatever you want to play it. You can figure it out. The losers in this, oddly enough, of course, are the Vikings because they don't have any positive tests, and they're going to play. Aren't they playing the Titans this week? And
no,
isn't
they just
that...
They just played them.
Oh, they just played them.
Pittsburgh. I would say Pittsburgh is also
Pittsburgh,
a loser.
Right. Pittsburgh is a loser in this.
Being told,
it's going to affect their schedule.
Yeah. Be prepared to play on time, which is likely going to be Monday or Tuesday, and then you wonder what is the effect of that going forward on a team that has started off very well.
So this is a very interesting circumstance. The NHL had no positive tests. None. The NBA has not been deterred. Baseball worked its way around it. Now we're going to see what football does. Now we'll see what football does. All right, and we'll talk on Friday to Jason Lockenfour, right?
That's right.
So he'll have a better sense of that.
To that point, you look at the two teams affected in baseball the most. They're playing
Marlins and Cardinals. They're both in the playoffs.
I think I saw that the Titans are not allowed to practice even. So they're going to do all their prep for this game if they play it, which they probably will against Pittsburgh.
They can play some three-quarter doubleheaders.
Yeah, that's what they can do. Right?
Little league games.
All right. We come back with Tim Kirchen. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here's the Simply Safe ad. Here's the thing about home security companies. Most trap you with high prices, tricky contracts, and lousy customer support. So while there are a lot of options out there, there's only one no-brainer, Simply Safe. We have Simply Safe. We hope if we ever get back to the studio, it will have recorded all the nefarious criminal people who have come into our studio and bothered it.
Nigel will run through every minute of that recording.
Want to find
it? Yes. Yes.
It's only 8 months worth. Simply Safe's got everything you need to protect your home with none of the drawbacks of traditional home security. It's got an arsenal of sensors and cameras to blanket every room, window, and door, tailored specifically for your home. Professional monitoring keeps watch day and night, ready to send police, fire, or medical professionals if there's an emergency. You can set it up yourself in under an hour, as Michael and Nigel did. Just peel and stick the sensors exactly where you need them. No technician needed. And there's no contract, no pushy sales guys, no hidden fees, no fine print. All of this starts at $15 a month. I'm not the only one who thinks Simply Safe is great. U.S. News & World Report named it, and I'm quoting here, the best overall home security of 2020. So head to Simply Safe, S-I-M-P-L-I, S-I-M-P-L-I, not Y, simplysafe.com/Tony. You get a free HD camera. People listening to this show who sign up get a free HD camera. Use the code, people. Well, there's no code. Just, oh, yeah, there is. /Tony. Simplysafe.com/Tony. Use the code. Get the camera.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Oh, baby, what can I say? Some days are gravy and some will leave you slain.
This is Let It Rain. This is by Davis Vardaman and his wife, Claire. Do I have that name correct? Is it Claire?
Yes, you do.
I have that name correct.
That's right.
And they record under the name of Old Fuss and Feathers. We're going to play two songs from them today, as we did yesterday. This is Let It Rain, and it plays in Tim Kirkchin. And my first question for Tim is very simple. Where are you physically right now? Where are you physically?
I'm in the Marriott Residence Inn in Southington, Connecticut. I came up
where
here.
Where I've last... been, right.
I came up here last Thursday, Tony. I will be here through October the 11th. I made a decision on my own that since Maryland, where I live and you live, is safe, I was allowed to come to Bristol. So I determined it would be much better for me and my career to not be trapped at home alone in my house trying to do the biggest games I've ever done on television. So I decided I want to come to Bristol, sit next to another human being, and then if something goes wrong technically, I will have somebody there to help me, as opposed to that lonely feeling of sitting in my home studio, not sure if everything's going to work out. So this is where I am, and this is where I'm going to be through at least October the 11th, and then a quick trip home, and then coming right back.
So I have been in that very hotel, and I know that hotel. Are you, is this considered a bubble of sorts? Are you restricted in some way so that they make sure you get in and out of the studio? Is there anything like that?
No, they haven't exactly put it that way, but I'm living in my own bubble anyway, Tony, the way I'm doing this. I stay in the hotel. I might go out for a run. I will go out for a run. Then I'll go to the studio, and I'm not going anywhere else. So I have my self-imposed bubble here because A, I'm 63, and B, I want to make sure nothing goes wrong, because otherwise I'm going to have to go home and try to do all this work from my home studio, which I repeat, I'm trying to avoid just in case anything goes wrong. I don't feel confident that I'll get it fixed in time to do the next game.
Yeah, I wouldn't get anything fixed. I'm in the attic, and I understand that, but it's different. I'm not doing live games. It's an entirely different deal. The reason I asked where you were is because I got up yesterday, and I saw you on the 7 a.m. Sports Center in Bristol, which surprised me that I saw you up there, not in New York or not back, you know, in Maryland. I saw you in Bristol, Connecticut, and I wondered, wow, this is going to be the longest day of his life. And how is he going to do these games? Who are you with in the studio? And indeed, was it the longest day of your life?
Yesterday was a long day, and I was with Carl Ravitch and Eduardo Perez, which is our broadcast team. We've done most of our games together for the last 5 years from the booth. Now we do it from home or from the studio.
Right.
So today we have a 1 o'clock game. Same two teams. Yesterday we did the game on ABC. Today we will do the 1 o'clock game on ESPN. And then after that game's over, I'll do a bunch of sports centers. And then I have the 10 o'clock game. So we
Dodger game.
Yeah, we have a doubleheader today. We have an American League playoff game at 1 in the afternoon and a National League playoff game at 10 at night. And we have the same schedule tomorrow, assuming those series are still going. So, but, Tony, all kidding aside, I can't even begin to tell you how much I love doing live games. I have for 5 years. It's the best. You're right in the middle of it, and you're calling the game. And even though you're not there, it's still tremendous amount of fun.
Okay, so you did the Astros game yesterday. Yes, I have the right game?
Yeah.
The Astros game?
Yeah.
Okay, good, because this is what I want to ask. Who exactly is Sergio Romo? I thought he was the person who Sean Doolittle wanted to be when he grew up. I mean, this guy looked like, wow, that's a freakish look. And what happened to him was so terrible. It was so terrible, right?
Yeah. Now, Tony, he's a decorated world champion relief pitcher who's had a very nice major league career. Pitcher of the Giants, got 3 rings. I mean, he's been a little bit of everywhere, that guy. He throws a slider on every single pitch. And even though he looks, has a strange look to him,
he does.
He's been an effective pitcher for most of his career. I'm not sure they should have left him in to face 6 batters yesterday, but they did. And that bases-loaded walk, which missed the strike zone by inches, is, and we don't get too many bases-loaded walks in the ninth inning, bringing in the tying run, go-ahead run in a playoff game. It's only the fourth time that's ever happened, and it happened to the Twins and Sergio Romo yesterday.
And it's a terrible throw to second for the force. It's such a routine, easy play, and it's a terrible throw. I guess what I remember Romo from the Giants, but do you notice, am I crazy, or do relievers, by and large, in order to try and get some psychological advantage, they look so freakish sometimes on the mound, the way they shake the ball down, the way they stare, the way the Doolittle holds his glove up around his neck. And I'm thinking to myself, just throw the ball. You're eventually going to have to throw the ball. This stuff doesn't work. Am I wrong on that? It just, what are you doing?
There are some weird starting pitchers out there also, Tony. But being a reliever, by definition, makes you weird because you pitch every single game. Because that's how it works today in the big leagues. We overwork our relief pitchers. They're always getting up. They're coming in the game, or they're not coming in the game. So it's a strange group of guys anyway. It takes a lot to be a relief pitcher in the big leagues. Romo just has an especially strange look to all of him.
17 straight. For the Twins, it's not possible. It's just not possible. How do you recover from this?
Tony, it's the longest postseason losing streak by far by any major league team, and it's the longest in any of the 4 pro sports. And yesterday just personified that losing streak. You're right. A bases-loaded walk forces in the go-ahead run, and a routine out in the ninth inning turns into an error and leads to 3 unearned runs, and they go 0-for-6 with runners in scoring position. The Twins are way better than this. They made 20 errors the whole season, Tony. That ties for the fewest in the league, ties with the Astros for the fewest, yet when it came time to make the big play, they didn't. And that it doesn't follow, but now the narrative has changed again. Now people are asking about the losing streak as opposed to the Twins who should beat the Astros. Now we're talking about something else.
There are, I think I saw Mark Teixeira, your colleague, talk about this the other day, that he sort of thought that Cleveland had a real good chance against the Yankees. And Shane Bieber is going to win the Cy Young in the American League. And he got rocked. And he got rocked early by Aaron Judge, who's like 83 feet tall. And if he just gets his bat on the ball, it's going out all the time. And he gave up more runs and more hits than he had all year. And my feeling is always sort of the same, that the Yankees, at one point this year, they were 5-15 out of 20 games. But it's hard to negotiate that lineup. It is hard to get through that lineup. And that lineup was, I think, the end of the Indians. And Cole was immediately worth the money. Immediately, right?
Right. So that's the shortest the start of Bieber's season, and the 7 earned runs ties for the most he's ever given up in a game. And it happened in game 1 against the Yankee team. When they're swinging it, Tony, when they're swinging it, they're still the most dangerous team in the American League for sure.
Yes.
But Gerrit Cole, I was amused at, I mean, Bieber's going to win the Cy Young unanimously, and he should.
He should.
I was amused that, well, he's going to win game 1 when he's going up against Gerrit Cole. Tony, he had a very good year. We just keep comparing it to last year when in his last 22 starts, he went 16-0 with a 1.78 ERA and struck out a batter in 73 consecutive innings.
Yeah,
that's
great.
The guy who went out last night, struck out 13 and walked none. Tom Seaver did that in 1973 in the playoffs. He's the only other pitcher ever to have a 13 strikeout, no walk game in the postseason. That's how dominant Gerrit Cole was last night and has been for a couple years, and that's precisely why they signed him for a game like that.
This is, I have a sort of a philosophical question for you, and it is, there's relatively no home field advantage. I mean, if you don't have big crowds, relatively no home field advantage. Do you think 2 out of 3 is fair for the 1 and a 1-8? I mean, I sort of worry about this. I mean, like the Dodgers and the Rays, the Dodgers in particular, dominating. And I don't know what advantage they have in a 1-8. I'm not sure they have much.
No, it's not fair. But in this truncated, strangest season ever, Tony, nothing has been fair, and no one has a right to complain because at least we've gotten to this point. So if I were a first-place team, I would say, all right, we only played 60 games. Whatever we're up against, we'll handle it. If this were 162 games, and then I had to play a best-out-of-3 series, that's not fair at all. I would demand that a 162 gives me a first-round bye. But here are the Dodgers, who had the highest winning percentage since the 1954 Indians.
Amazing.
And they're going up against the Brewers, who are tied for the lowest winning percentage ever by a playoff team. Tony, the Brewers were not above 500 one day for the entire season, and now they're playing in the playoffs against the Dodgers. And you know baseball, Tony, I'm not saying the Brewers are going to win, because they're not, but they have a chance too, whereas the Wizards never had a chance to beat Michael Jordan in the first round of the playoffs because he touched it on every possession. But in baseball, a hot pitcher, a bad start in a 3-game series can change everything.
This is so true. It becomes the hot goalie analogy more than anything else. If you throw two pitchers out there, you have to win 2 out of 3, and suddenly both those guys were great, the Dodgers are out. If that happens, the Dodgers are simply out, and they are the best team by a long way. So that's troubling to me. I will ask this. The baseball season, even with the Marlins and the Cardinals, who are ironically in the playoffs, has worked out so well. Does it bring Manfred and the players closer together, or will we see the same antagonism? Will we see no spirit of cooperation after this?
Well, I think we will, and if we don't, I will be sorely disappointed, and so should everyone else. Baseball finally deserves an enormous amount of credit to getting to this point. Mostly the players for showing discipline that we didn't even think they had to follow health and safety protocols, and everyone around the team making sure these guys are safe. So, and Rob Manfred got up and said, look, if we don't do a better job, we're not finishing the season. Even he deserves a little bit of credit for laying it down and saying, hey, we got to do better, fellas. And then everybody did. That's the spirit of cooperation baseball needs, so we don't have disasters moving forward.
All right, I'll get you out on the easy one. Ultimately, who do you like?
Well, I like the Dodgers to win the World Series. I like now the Yankees to go to the World Series, and I think it'll be a Yankee-Dodger World Series, and that, that would be really good. I mean, Yankees haven't won in a long time. Dodgers haven't won since 1988. The star power would be ridiculous, and Gerrit Cole against Walker Buehler, Gerrit Cole against Clayton Kershaw in Game 1 of the World Series, that would be pretty darn good.
Yeah, I agree with that. Thank you, Tim. We'll talk to you soon, and enjoy your self-imposed Napoleonic exile. Enjoy that.
Thanks, Tony.
Tim Kirkjian, boys and girls. We will take a break. We will come back with Chuck Todd. Chuck Todd will pick games and review the debate to some degree. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the ZipRecruiter ad. They sent three different scripts, and I just picked one. Arbitrarily, I picked one, and I'm going to read it. It's about a woman named Monica Starks. Monica Starks could relate.
Have you read this before?
No, I've never. Never even looked at it. No, we're going to... Should have picked option three. Monica Starks could relate. She needed to hire for a pivotal role at her construction company, GS Group, but was having a tough time finding the right person, especially with so many candidates out there. So she switched to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience for your job and actively invites them to apply, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free. For free at ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. Use the code, people. That's how Monica found Lamont Jenkins. She said that ZipRecruiter sent Lamont's profile to her around 5 minutes after she posted her job because he was a great match for the role. Through ZipRecruiter, Monica's company has hired everyone from accountants to project managers to field scientists. But Monica's not the only employer who loves ZipRecruiter. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself how ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier. Try it now for free. That's right, it's free. Free at ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. They asked me to spell out Tony. Why don't you ask me to spell out ZipRecruiter? ZipRecruiter would be harder than Tony. Tony is easy. T-O-N-Y. ZipRecruiter.com/Tony.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
People. Once again, these are Old Fuss and Feathers. This is Davis Vardaman and his wife, Claire. This is a song called Rise and Shine, and Nigel tells me it's a recently recorded song.
Yes.
She's a great singer. She's just a great singer. Michael, if people like Old Fuss and Feathers want to send us their original music, for which we are extremely grateful, how do they do it?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
And remember, at the end of the show, you can listen to the music in its entirety, which is better than anything we are going to say. Are we selling anything? I haven't asked you in a while.
Not right now. Go check out shop.tonykornheisershow.com. We have our usual offerings, and as always, say hi to Rob.
That's good. All right. Chuck Todd joins us now. He had a very good week. He was 5-2. He's 11-10 overall, leaving Carville in the dust as Carville went down to 0-4 on a weekly play the other day. And before we get to the games, I just would say, I know this is your day job to care about politics. I said at the beginning of the show, I didn't watch a minute. I didn't want to. I just couldn't imagine I wouldn't be terribly disappointed in the state of the country. So I just spared myself that, and I did not watch. Do you have any small comment about it, about the debate itself, how it went?
Other than I wish I were as wise as you. It was a train wreck. It was as you know. It's funny, you expect him to cross any line. And yet, he still always finds lines you didn't really. He'll do that. He'll do that. He'll do that. it's just, you know, what he does. I do think, I'll just say this. I think whether we have two more debates is an open question. I think it's a very open question about whether that serves the country well or whether that'll serve to raise tensions in a bad way. I mean, Dan Balls this morning in the Washington Post, I think, put it that way. It's like do we really want to put the country through two more 90 minutes like that?
Yeah, I mean, I know I don't, especially if it's against the NFL. I mean, I'd rather watch the NFL. Even tomorrow night's game, which I didn't think there could be a game worse than Miami and Jacksonville. I didn't think there could be anything worse.
No, this is epic.
This is worse. This is worse. Denver and the Jets, this is actually worse than the game I thought was the worst.
This is Trump Biden too. There's no doubt. This is Trump Biden too.
Terrible. All right, let's get to the games.
I will say one other thing. Trump has entered. Remember, Bill Simmons used to call it the Tyson Zone, where you would hear things about Mike Tyson. You know, Mike Tyson ate a tiger heart before he bit Evander Holyfield deer, and you'd be like, yeah, maybe, You know, that could be true. Donald Trump did to Mike Tyson last night. It's the Tyson only. He just went in there and he said, I'm going to bite everybody's ear and ruin the whole thing. And in a weird way, I understand why for his strategy, it's probably the best he could have hoped for because he couldn't win a fair fight. So why have it a fair fight? Anyway,
Let's go to the games. Cleveland, which is now has two wins and is above 500 for the first time since the 1800s, apparently. Cleveland is at Dallas. Cleveland is getting 4.5. Dallas shouldn't have any wins. Dallas should be 0-3. But Dallas has a pretty good offense. They put a lot of points up even when they lose. Cleveland getting 4.5 at Dallas. This is a tough game for me, so I'm asking you who you're taking.
I think 4.5 feels, you know, it's funny. This feels like a game that should have been 3, 3.5. That basically all Dallas deserves is home field plus.
Right.
4.5 feels a bit high in that half point. I mean, Dallas also has been giving up a ton of points.
Yes.
Right? I mean,
yes.
Twice, too. So, and Cleveland can move the ball on mediocre defenses. I Cleveland burns me every time. And so, but it's not like Dallas is reliable. I think the numbers here say take Cleveland because 4.5 feels too high. This feels like a 5.2.
Okay. Seattle is going across the country. Seattle is 3-0, I believe. They're at Miami. Miami is not a good team at all. They're just not a good team. Seattle is laying 6.5. Are you tempted to take the home dog of your youth?
Here's the thing. This is the single longest nonstop flight in the United States, I think.
Exactly.
Right? Isn't Miami to Seattle?
This, yeah.
And Seattle, you know, it's funny. We can make an argument. Seattle looks great. They're 3-0. Russell Wilson's the MVP. If you watch their games, they're
close.
A play away. You know,
yes.
Right? They're a play away
from disaster.
Two plays away from having losing records.
That's
right.
They
could easily be 1-2 right now. 6.5. I'm not going to bet against Russell on this, but this is not a game I'd put money on because this feels for the cross country business. This is one of those you'd stay away from. But against the monkey, I'll take Seattle.
Okay. The LA Chargers, a team I know nothing about anymore, is also going across the country.
They staff quarterbacks in the hearts. That's what you need to know about them.
Yeah, they're doctors.
I
would just stay away from their team doctor. I don't know about you, but I'd stay away. The LA Chargers are getting 7.5 at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay has quietly won two games in a row. Quietly won these things and looks pretty good, Tampa Bay, at the moment. 7.5 is a lot. Where are you going on this one?
Yeah, that's that half point, right? That feels like the loser there. I mean, that just feels like the loser. Quiet was a very kind word. Brady hasn't looked that good. He just hasn't. He tried to get Gronk in that game last week a little bit more.
He did.
And Gronk.
He did.
And Gronk didn't. Gronk. I don't think that guy can yak anymore. Isn't that what it is? Yards after catch?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
There was no yak. Catch ball, fall, big man fall down. I'll take Tampa because I do think that medical doc. If I played for the Chargers, I'd be nervous about going into the trainer's room. I'm sorry. That is just. Tyrod Taylor's going to get paid. Either in a contract or a lawsuit, but he's going to get paid.
Yeah, so let's review. In case people don't know it, Tyrod Taylor went in for a pain injection, and the guy punctured his lung. He missed by a little. And he got the needle into the lung. And Tyrod Taylor then could not play.
And then the first-round draft pick quarterback gets to play.
Yes. So it's maybe conspiratorial is what I think Chuck is suggesting on that.
I'm not suggesting anything. I'm just saying.
Indianapolis is at Chicago. Chicago has undergone the quarterback change at this point. Indianapolis, and I guess, do I have this line right? I don't. Indianapolis is a 2.5-point favorite. Nigel, are you sure on this? That makes no sense to me.
Sure.
It makes no sense.
Why?
How can Indianapolis be the favorite at Chicago, a 3-0 team that's excited about Nick Foles being the quarterback? Are you sure?
Let me ask you this, Tony. Can you name the last 3-0 team that benched its starting quarterback? that proactively benched its starting quarterback who had yet to lose the game.
Have no idea who that might be. Right. And Trubisky actually looked good in one of those games. Nigel, you checking the line?
Yeah. Indy minus 2.5.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Who you got?
Yeah. Well, I don't have a lot of faith in Phil Rivers yet and what's happening in Indianapolis. Yeah. They don't look like world beaters. But the Bears, I understand why this, because the Bears don't seem like a good team, and yet you're like, they're 3-0.
Yeah.
Give me the Bears because it's a home dog and it's stupid not to bet. It's one of those that I'll be madder at myself if I bet against a home dog that's 3-0 and lose. You'd be like, well, you're an idiot. You should take the home dog.
I feel exactly the same.
Yeah, but it's, not with a lot of enthusiasm.
That's really I understand.
This is a tough week. These games are weird. How's that?
This is New England is at Kansas City. Kansas City is a great team. I don't know if this is a trap game for Kansas City, a letdown game after blowing Baltimore out. I don't know that. That was Monday night, so it's a short week. New England has been close. New England was really close with Seattle. New England's pretty good. Cam Newton's pretty good, and they are getting 7. Who you got?
I wish I could get that 7.5 here.
Yes, I agree.
I
agree.
I would love New England in a half point. I could play the Carville here. Give me a half point. Shop around.
Yeah.
just go get me the better line. And it's at Kansas City, right? It's short week, but it's
at Kansas City.
You know what? Actually, the line has shifted. I'm looking at it right now. It is now New England plus 7.
Well, that's what it is 7. He's asking for 7.
Oh, asking for the half point. Oh, I see.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
The half point.
My God, pay attention to the show. Yes.
Yeah, the head of your sports book, man. Jesus.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
All right. Give me New England. Although I think the Charger game was the letdown game for the Chiefs. The sort of the in between.
Yeah.
Right? They played the Chiefs are going to win this game, but I'm uncomfortable betting 7 points against Bill Belichick. And
I agree with that.
This is the largest underdog he's been in, 10 years?
15 years. 15 years.
Yeah.
15.
Easily. I can't, 15. Can't imagine when he's ever gotten this many points in any game.
So, Buffalo is at Las Vegas. Buffalo was lucky to win. They got a really nice pass interference call, but they scored a lot of points. And Josh Allen's pretty good. Buffalo's pretty good. I don't know about Las Vegas. Buffalo is a 3-point favorite on the road. Who you got?
They're fun. By the way, they're also fun to watch.
They are.
I mean, Josh Allen, it's just they're a fun team to watch.
Stephon Diggs has helped them a lot. He's helped a lot.
This might be the most interesting just matchup. This could be a fun game to watch as well, because the Raiders certainly know how to can move the ball when they can. I think the Bills are just. I'm going to bet on the better team here. They're a lot better team, and I think the Raiders. I think they actually should be favored by more than 3 here. And I think this is a little bit of. Buffalo does have to go cross country, and they've not been big favorites that often, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm betting that Buffalo's another level. That this is their best team in the AFC.
And now we get to the most interesting game of all to me, and I never would have said this normally, but you like to bet on the Washington football team. Baltimore lost at home, a bad loss on Monday night to Kansas City. Baltimore is going to go out and try and score 3,000 points against Washington at Washington. They are giving... This is an enormous number. Baltimore is a 13.5 point road favorite. And Carville would say, hold your nose, and pick Washington. Hold your nose. So what are you going to do?
And your boy Jeff Ma is going to bet that process, I'm sure. You got to take 13.5, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I had real money on the football team on Sunday. And they had no reason not to cover that line, except.
Well, how about maybe if their coach called one timeout in the last 5 minutes? Maybe.
Does he think they roll over to another game?
He punted on the game. What are you doing? You didn't try to win the game. You didn't.
So I'll be honest. This is one of those things that when you see this as a gambler and a coach, you're like, I'm never betting on that team again. You can't. You're like, that coach is actively taking money away from you. He said, I was just like, what are you doing? There was 4.5 minutes left. I'm like, oh, they're going to get the garbage. Like, I was convinced it was not an easy cover, but I'm like, oh, I got plenty of time here. They're being, you know, they're going to force a punt and all this stuff. You're like, he's not calling timeouts.
None.
Like, he's not even trying.
No.
I look, 13.5 not enough. 13.5 not enough.
I was watching that really game. Bad. I'm watching the game and I'm going, wait a second, what's going on here? He's not trying to win this game. You have to stop the clock. I watched Fangio do this 2 weeks before and went on PTI the next day and said, you have to fire him. He doesn't know what he's doing. And I'm sort of stunned that there's no pushback.
By the way, talk about a beaten down fan base. Does anybody even care anymore?
That was surprising to me. I'd like to have an answer other than leave me alone with this question. You know, it's just odd. All right, Chuck. Thank you so much. Good luck on these. We'll talk to you next week.
And more importantly, you're the real prognosticator. You knew not to watch the debate. So.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope I was right.
Please, Mr. Tony, tell me what to do next.
I'll watch the fourth one. If there's not going to be a second one, there certainly won't be a fourth one.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Chuck. Chuck Todd, boys and girls. We will take a break. We won't take a break because if we gave you Chuck Todd, that would be enough. Because he gave you not only the football, but the debate. But we give you more than Chuck Todd. We give you a monkey.
See the monkey, he's scritch, scritch, scratching. Watching his iPad, smoking and laughing. Hanging with Bud Grant, tap, tap, tapping on his purple attaché. Nigel's going to the zoo.
Zoo, zoo, zoo.
Reginald's got the Vikes
by two.
Sometimes he throws his poo, poo, poo. Poo. And he's had too much Johnny
Walker Blue. All right, where is he?
Well, once again, Reginald was not at his chateau at the National Zoo. I was able to track him down. You know where he was last night, Tony? He was in Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Apparently, Cleveland. He was serving as the backup moderator for Chris Wallace. You might have seen him off to the side with a baseball hat and a clipboard ready to go in case Chris Wallace had to leave the debate. But obviously, that did not happen. But we were able to carve out a few minutes and we went over a few games. The first game we gave was Miami, getting 6.5 at home versus Seattle. Showed me a very old photograph. I didn't know Reginald was this old, but of very young Reginald with Johnny Ola and a retired pensioner by the name of Hyman Roth. Roth was apparently taking a nap, but clearly he's got ties to that Miami area. So he will take the Dolphins with that 6.5.
I don't know about that one, but okay. Who else is he taking?
The next match we gave him was Indianapolis giving 2.5 at Chicago. And I don't know if you knew this. Reginald was part of the pit crew for A.J. Foyt when he won the Indy 500 in 1977 and for Gordon Junkock when he won in 82. So clearly he's got ties to the Indy area, and he will take the Colts and lay the 2.5 on the road at Chicago. And, of course, the final game we gave him was the Washington football team.
So you're giving him three games in which the road team is the favorite. Three games, the road team is the favorite. Okay.
Yes. And this one, surprisingly enough, you know, you're going to see where he goes, but I did not see this. It's an old newspaper clipping of him and Dexter Manley competing in a pancake eating contest in Lusby, Maryland. And Manley won with a total of 473 pancakes down. Reginald only ate 12, so that was not really much of a contest. He's clearly got ties to the Washington football team, and he will take them. The home dogs of almost two touchdowns.
I've got to tell you that I think that this is a game that Baltimore could win by a lot.
Oh, I think they win by
40. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think they're going to go out there and try and get rid of what happened to them on Monday night.
Yes.
That's what I think. Well, we'll see.
It's not like the FT turns the ball over.
All right. Yeah. No, they don't ever do that. Their quarterback always knows where he's going. All right. Thank you. We will take a break. We will come back with email and a jingle. Yes. Email and a jingle.
That's right. Yes.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Lincoln Financial ad. Hey, everyone. The new world we're living in has me and my family talking a lot more I mean, we're talking about everything from how much greater was the greatest of all time than today's greatest to how to make sourdough bread, to how excited we are that football is finally back. And trust me, that last one's important. Michael and I talk all the time. Michael indulges me because I want to talk
all
to him every single
time.
Day. Yeah, I can't keep watching my dog run circles in the backyard and call that a spectator sport. Actually, I can. I sort of like that.
The Frisbee game.
Yeah, it's the Frisbee game. But despite how talkative we all are, the people at Lincoln Financial want to point out the one conversation that most people still haven't had, and that is your financial plans. So do find time to talk to your loved ones about it, because the more we talk, the better we plan, protect, and retire. That's why Lincoln Financial is here to help you. Get the right questions to start that conversation at LincolnFinancial.com.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
That's Binghamton's own Chris Ullman. He's the number one whistler in the world, and you say, how did he get that? Did he win a championship? And I think he did. I think all the great whistlers convened in Vienna, and I think Chris Ullman won it. He's the number one whistler in the world. That, to me, is a very big deal. Nigel, you want to do the Bethesda Bagel ad?
Oh, yes. Even though we aren't eating the bagels today, we love them, and you will as well. Bethesda Bagel's got several locations around the D.C. area. Just go to BethesdaBagels.com for the location nearest you, and once you go there, you will love the bagels and everything they have there.
We'll have them Friday. Okay, that'll just about do it for us today. But before we get to the mailbag, I just want to say one word to you, Benjamin. Just one word. Are you listening? Plastics. There's a great future in plastics. Think about it. Will you think about it? Enough said. That's sort of the beginning of one of the greatest movies of all time, the Catherine Ross, Dustin Hoffman movie, The Graduate. It's brilliant. Thanks to our guests today, Meet the Press host Chuck Todd, ESPN's Tim Kirkchian. Thanks as well to our sponsors today, Lincoln Financial, Simply Safe, ZipRecruiter. Remember, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Radio.com. If you get the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. And I don't know if it's Lake Orion or Lake Orion.
Every time.
I get it wrong all the time. But this is from Michael Davis from Mandeville,
I believe it's
Louisiana.
Lake Orion.
Okay. Being a native Michigander, and a Fairweather Pistons fan, so not much of a fan, I hope to finally convey to you the proper pronunciation of Lake Orion or Lake Orion, Michigan, unless, of course, your inability to pronounce it is the joke. Embedded and highlighted in the following is the proper pronunciation. During a timeout and overtime of Game 5 of the 2005 NBA Finals, the announcers repeatedly said, "You cannot do what soon followed." Rasheed Wallace left Robert Horry uncovered when he drained the game-winning three-point shot. Orion. This is particularly apt since Lake Orion is minutes north of Auburn Hills. Thank you, and as always, Edith Saliza. From the...
So it's Lake Orion.
No, it's like Orion.
Oh.
It's like Orion. From Steve the Sycophant, Gale Sayers was the best running back I ever saw. I was attending the University of Nebraska when Sayers played for Kansas. Even though NU beat KU during Sayers' three seasons, this was before freshmen could play, I was terrified every time Sayers touched the ball. I especially remember his junior year. KU was in Lincoln and was stuck at about their half-yard line. Sayers took a handoff deep in the end zone and whoosh. When he was still inside the 10-yard line, you knew he was gone. He was credited with a 99-yard run, but it was really 108. He was magnificent. R.I.P., Mr. Sayers. Jeff Boyd in Pittsburgh. I can't believe you failed to mention the greatest Francis Frank of all time, Francis Albert Sinatra. I believe there is only one album with his first name, Francis Albert Sinatra, Antonio Carlos Jobim. Don't know of any reference to him as F.A. Sinatra. Thank God for that. Yes, Francis Albert Sinatra. Yes. Ashton Mitchell from Mobile, Alabama. After hearing your quick answer to the bingo debate, I thought I'd let you and Michael continue your version of Hot Bench and help me with a year-long debate I've had with my friend. In a car, if you have two cup holders that are set up in a vertical line rather than a horizontal line, which one is the front cup holder? My friend thinks the front one is the one closer to the front of the car, while I think it's the one closer to you. Their main argument is that the front seats are closer to the front than the back seats are closer to the back. Same should be true for the cup holder designation. My reason for saying the option closer to you is the front, because I compare it to a file cabinet. If you open a drawer and you want to put a file in the front, where does it go? That's right, closest to you. We agreed that you'd be the final call on this idiotic debate that has almost ended a friendship. So what is your verdict, Michael?
The front cup holder is going to be the cup holder that is closest to the driver. So it'll be closer to your, what do you call it? It's not the glove box, but...
Yeah.
So that's going to be your front one. Better question is, who has rights to that front cup holder, the driver or the passenger?
I think the passenger should probably...
Oh, no, that's the driver. That's for safe driving.
Gabe Crowell, Knoxville, Tennessee. I appreciated the question about Bingo the dog, or was it Bingo the farmer? It reminded me of a question my 14-year-old son asked me a few weeks ago as we were setting the dinner table. Daddy asked, if Yankee Doodle went to town riding on a pony, stuck a feather in his cap and called it macaroni, who is macaroni? Is it the pony or is it the cap? It seemed to him and eventually me that if a great American folk song is to be taken at face value and the rules of modifiers is to be taken at face value as well, then it is the cap that Mr. Doodle is calling macaroni. Are we missing something? Michael, you're going to have this problem soon.
The feather?
You think it's the feather? Stuck the feather in his cap?
Have I been wrong this entire time?
I don't know. I have another one.
Or is it the experience that's macaroni?
Mark Finisky. Finisiki. My name is Mark Finisiki. I'm an amateur mushroom hunter. The mushroom you were talking about could be a chicken of the woods mushroom, highly sought after. You fry it just like chicken. And from James Broden, as long as we've been doing mushrooms for a while, James Broden in Montreal, I am writing to explain to you why any and all mushrooms that are found and not bought are unsafe. This isn't to say they're all inedible. What I'm saying is it isn't worth the huge risk. It's like smelling your hand. If there is any doubt that your hands don't smell fresh, just wash your hands. If there is any doubt about a mushroom's safety, just let them go. One dinner several years ago, my mother-in-law, who is quite possibly the best Italian cook ever, served steak on the barbecue, roasted potatoes, a dressed salad, and pan-fried mushrooms that were picked and gifted by a relative who shall remain nameless. What transpired soon after the meal began was a vomiting marathon. That sadly is not forgettable. Anyone who ate them were affected, with my mother-in-law taking the brunt of the illness, emptying her stomach into a 5-gallon kitty litter bucket. Trust me when I say you don't want a piece of this nightmare. Bon appetit.
How was the steak?
I bet it was great. From Philip, while listening to the show the other day, I immediately became very concerned with your mushroom dilemma. While I cannot profess to being a mushroom expert, what I can tell you is that the woman I'm related to by marriage is a liver transplant social worker. Her team has evaluated multiple patients for liver failure relegated to the ingestion of poisonous mushrooms. These things are no joke, and I would keep them as far away from your pie hole as possible. My suggestion is to grab a wedge and practice your short game with them. There are a few truths I've learned in life. Death, taxes, use the code, and don't eat the mushrooms. From Philip. I think we're.
So the recipe was to fry the mushrooms.
I think we're good about that.
Fried like chicken.
I think I'd stay away. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm not a kid.
You're a dope.
Oh, baby, what can I say? Some days are gravy. Some will leave you slain. Well, we could curse the sky for falling. It's still falling all the same. This life is so much sweeter, darling, if you learn to love the rain. So let it rain. Let it rain, I'll let it fall. It's all the same if you learn to love it all. No way we can change again. So let's get crazy. Well, we could curse the sky for falling. It's still falling all the same. This this life is so much sweeter, darling, if you learn to love the rain. So let it rain. Let it rain, oh, let it fall. It's all the same if you learn to love it all.
We gotta rise and
life. Only thing I find is, oh, we gotta shine.